listening to This Week in Virtualization, TechTarget's weekly news podcast on server and desktop virtualization.
Welcome to the July 8th edition of This Week in Virtualization. I'm Senior Site Editor Colin Steele.
And I'm Associate Editor Keith Kessinger.
And Senior Site Editor Bridget Botello.
Hope everybody had a good 4th of July. We took last week off, but we're back with some news on Windows Thin PC. And first, we're going to talk about the Gartner Magic Quadrant for server virtualization. It's my favorite time of year when I get to talk about magic and put little pictures of rabbits coming out of their hats on our blog. The Gartner Magic Quadrant, for those of you who aren't familiar, is the analyst firm's big annual ranking of the major server virtualization vendors, and they do it in a square, which is divided into four parts. And if you make the top right box, that's the leaders box, and usually you could have also called that the VMware box because they're the only ones who are in there. But this year that's changed, and Hyper-V and Zen Server have made the jump into the leaders box. In their report, Gartner said that Microsoft has increased its market share, especially among mid-market customers new to virtualization, and Citrix is leveraging its desktop virtualization strengths and its free Zen Server offering to expand its server virtualization share. They said that Hyper-V is having success among mid-market customers who are new, and it's winning there at least 30% of the time, and they cited Hyper-V's low price and some of the new features that they've added in R2, like dynamic memory. So we always talk about VMware as the leader far and away, and they still are. That's not changing at all. But Microsoft and Citrix do have relative feature parity, which Gartner pointed out, and they are becoming more of a legitimate option.
It also helps that Hyper-V is included with Windows Server. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, with the old... you get a Windows laptop, you get Internet Explorer, and why would you use Netscape? And the same thing is happening here. A lot of shops already have VMware, and I don't think if you have it, you're going to get rid of it. But like you said, the new server virtualization users who happen to use Windows Server, it only makes sense for them to use Hyper-V. And Microsoft and Citrix have a really close partnership, especially on the virtual desktop side. So their, you know, Zen Server would support Microsoft tools like AppV and Vice, and you know, they support each other's products. So it makes a lot of sense that these two are making a little headway in the server space.
Gartner actually mentioned that the relationship between Citrix and Microsoft might be something that's kind of holding Zen Server adoption back. Let me find the quote here. It says, "Citrix's go-to-market strategy regarding how it competes with/complements Microsoft remains confusing for many customers and channel partners."
Yeah.
Which isn't anything new, but you know, it's something that Citrix says, "Oh, you know, don't worry about that. We feel like this is a good approach for us." And it's pretty much unanimous in response to it says, no, it's not so much.
Yeah. And that's not really Citrix's forte to the Zen Server product. It's a giveaway. So they're not making a lot of money off of it, and they probably don't really care. They'd rather have Microsoft on their side endorsing them.
But they never come out and say that, which I think is frustrating for some people. And the people who do use Zen Server like it a lot. And they say, you know, you could be so much more than you are. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes in.
Yeah, well, Citrix doesn't want to step on Microsoft's toes with anything. And I've talked to their former CTO, Simon Crosby, about that before. And a lot of their products are complementary.
It all comes back to price is the number one takeaway from this. You know, Microsoft's been beating that drum for a long time. Not just that it's included in Windows Server, but they claim that the whole package is still cheaper than VMware, which of course VMware denies, but you know, regardless of what the truth is, you know, people are buying into this message, and the latest vSphere release coming soon, there's usually pricing and licensing changes that go along with that, and it would really benefit VMware to address those this go around, and maybe come up with some other lower end offering to compete with this, and if not this year, you know, maybe next year after a year of having to share their Magic Quadrant with Microsoft and Citrix.
But you know, at the same time,
they might rethink it.
They don't really need to either, because you know they've got the big market share on the server virtualization side. And looking at we have a data center decision survey that I don't think is published yet, but our numbers are showing, you know, about 58% of our readers are using VMware ESX as their primary platform, and only about, you know, 16 or so percent use Hyper-V, and then it's a Zen server, only about 11%. So, I mean, these guys have a very small share of a big market that's dominated by VMware.
But you have to look at it that's just the share of companies that have virtualized so far. I was just talking to a solutions provider this afternoon on the phone, and you know, he was saying that there's still a lot of, especially on the SMB side, organizations that haven't virtualized at all. And it's not like Microsoft and Citrix are gaining market share by taking customers away from VMware. They're just getting new customers who haven't virtualized at all. And it's going to be easier for them to chip away at VMware's lead. And I don't think VMware can, not that they're ignoring that segment of the market, but I think VMware needs to focus on them more.
On July 1st, Microsoft officially released their Windows Thin PC OS, which is basically a stripped-down version of Windows 7 that you can run on old Windows XP hardware. So basically, it's, you know, you can't be confused by it having thin in the name. It's not for thin clients. It's for old XP machines. But
calling it Windows Old PC wasn't a good marketing name. So
yeah, that doesn't roll off the tongue the same way. So it's basically for companies that don't want to buy new, you know, thin client hardware if they're doing virtual desktops, or you know, they're not ready to upgrade for Windows 7, but still want some of the features. At the same time, you need a software assurance license, of course. And why would you have that on an old PC? But that's besides the point.
Is this something that people are looking for? Or is it one of those solutions without a problem?
Well, it's kind of a, you know, a way to have Windows on as a thin client. So with thin clients, they don't have, they don't break, there's not as much stuff in it to break, and it's stripped down. So you can't run the same types of applications that you would run on a full version of Windows. You know, you can run security and remote desktop and browsers and you know, maybe some instant messaging clients, but it's pretty limited, and it's not for your, you know, power users.
Why would a company want to switch to thin PC on XP hardware? Why would they want to migrate from XP to this?
Well, so basically, it's a way to upgrade the operating system to Windows 7 without buying all new hardware, because that's the big expense of upgrading is buying all these new laptops. But at the same time, you're not getting as much functionality by far. So, you know, it really depends. I think it's probably a very limited use case. But
do you think now with Windows 8 on the horizon that there's more of a demand for something like this, because people want to get their users used to the relatively new interface? And I know Windows 8 is a lot different than Windows 7 is looks-wise, but it's a less of a transition from 7 to 8 than from XP to 8, so this is kind of a stopgap type of thing?
I think it could. Windows 8 comes into play maybe because people don't want to upgrade from XP hardware to Windows 7 hardware and then have to upgrade to new hardware again with Windows 8, which will probably happen, especially if they have that touch-enabled functionality. So, you know, that could be a way to delay hardware upgrades and, you know, looking forward to the next version.
Thanks, Bridget. We have a lot of news next week. Monday and Tuesday, I will be in Los Angeles for the Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference, talking to a lot of partners about Hyper-V, the opportunities there, the next version of Hyper-V 3.0, which is supposed to have a client hypervisor built into the operating system that you can just turn on and off with the control panel. And next Tuesday is VMware's big launch event for a major release, which we all know what it is but can't say. They're stressing the letter V, which if you take a look at the Roman numeral of V, will give you a pretty good idea of what it's all about. So we're going to have full news coverage from there as well. So it should be a really good action-packed podcast next week.
You've you've been listening to This Week in Virtualization. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And for more information, visit searchservervirtualization.com, searchvmware.com, and searchvirtualdesktop.com.